You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
Yes, indeed. A very good morning, boys and girls. What do we say? TGIF. Of course we do. Yes, thank God it's Friday. It is Friday. It is the 2nd of February. And it's The Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D, here on 89.3 Cool FM. Right, let's get started. Let's see who we can find in the world today of importance that was born on this day. Well, not necessarily of importance, this one, but it's an interesting one. We're going to go back to the year 1650. And a lady called Nell Gwynn was born on this day. She was an English actress who was a long-time mistress of King Charles II of England. Now, called Pretty Witty Nell by Samuel Pepys, she has been called a living embodiment of the spirit of Restoration England and is considered to be a folk heroine, with a story echoing the rags-to-royalty tale of Cinderella.
Good morning, world.
Hello. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Good morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
tell you what, you thought we'd gone posh when we started, didn't you? Roll Over Beethoven. That, by the way, takes us back originally to 1956. It was written by Chuck Berry, originally released on, was it Chess Records back then? And on the B-side, Drifting Heart, if I remember rightly. The lyrics of the song mention rock and roll and the desire for rhythm and blues to be respected as much as classical music. The song has been covered, of course, by many artists, including, I guess most famously, the Beatles and the Electric Light Orchestra, which is the one we just played, ELO. Rolling Stone magazine ranked the song at number 97 on its list of 500 greatest songs of all time. There we go then. 10 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock already. Got a guest coming in later, tell you all about that. It was called Sit Down. It comes from an English band formed back in, I think about, is it in the 1980s, if I remember rightly. Yeah, coming from Manchester, formed in, it's 1982. And there we go. English rock band coming from Manchester. Sit Down was the name of the song. And it was originally released in June of 89, and that was on Rough Trade Records. Eight and a half minutes, by the way, the original form, which was all rather too long, wasn't it? So we changed it. The song reached number 7 on the UK singles chart and was ranked at number 8 in John Peel's Festive 50 of that year. Right, I tell you what, the time is just a few seconds away. We're about 10 seconds away from the 15-minute mark. So what are we going to do? What we always do at this time in the morning. And let's get you sorted out in the shower and on your way to wherever it is you're going this morning. Now, I know you like to get the water sorted out, so let's do that. There we go. Sheila B. Devotion's in the shower with you this morning, so move over. Spacer is what it's called. Got one of my favourite songs from the disco era. get your tongue sorted out. Yes, Sheila B. Devotion and Spacer. 19 minutes right now. That's after the hour 7 o'clock. We're on 89.3, of course. Cool FM. Lovely to be with you. It is a Friday. TGIF. Friday the 2nd of February. Very good morning. Going out to Mary Lou this morning. She's with us bright and early, which is all rather nice. And let me see, we have got a guest. Let me just get my information here because I have it right here in front of me. We've got Julio Montes de Oca coming in, Coastal Resilience Director of Audubon Americas. He's coming in and chatting with us this morning about the wetlands. Apparently it's wetland day today. Do they have one for deserts? I'm not sure. 20 minutes after 7 here on The Breakfast Show. Stephen Sanchez. Until I found you.
Georgia, wrap me up in all the culture. In my arms, I'll let me hold you. I'll never let you go again like I did or used to say. I would never fall in love again until I found her.
Winding Road, and that comes from Sheryl Crow, of course, American musician, singer and songwriter. Her music sort of, well, what incorporates elements of rock, pop, country, folk, blues. She's released 7 studio albums to date, 5 compilations and 3 live albums, and contributed to several film soundtracks as well. Her most popular songs is All I Want to Do, Strong Enough, It Makes You Happy, Every Day is a Winding Road, the one we just played. So there we go, Sheryl Crow. Who remembers the Partridge Family? I do.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. Like all at once I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you. This morning I woke up with this feeling I didn't know how to deal with, and so I just decided to myself I'd hide it to myself and never talk about it. And didn't I go and shout it when you walked into the room? I think I love you. Not what life is made of, though it worries me to say that I never felt this way. I know what I'm up against, it's all about. I got so much to think about. Hey, I think I love you. So what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of. I love there is no cure for. Well, I think I love you. Isn't that what life is made of? Though it worries me to say I never felt this way. Believe me, you really don't have to worry. I only want to make you happy, and if you say, hey, go away, I will. But I think better still, I'd better stay around and love you. Do you think I have a case? Let me ask it to your face. Do you think you love me? What think?
There we go, yes, the Partridge Family. Great TV series that was as well. Right, time on The Breakfast Show. We're just a few seconds away from the bottom of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3. con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. Wave Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. With Wave's own school operating as of this month, 70 public school students from Pedasi, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 64982703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through Yapi's directory at Asociación Wade. That's WAVED.
Join us February 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival in Buenaventura, where for 4 days, we're bringing you 9 incredible events with 20 performances that'll have you grooving all weekend long. We're bringing you a lineup of award-winning talent that will have you dancing the weekend away. So come and bask in the cool summer breeze under the shade of the Curutu tree and enjoy the sensational music at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. It's an experience you won't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.meeventos.com and search for beaches.
La línea 1 del metro pronto llegará a Villa Zahita, beneficiando a más de 300.000 residentes del área norte de la ciudad. Contará con una estación terminal con capacidad de 10.000 pasajeros por hora. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
Right, let me say a good morning. We said good morning to Mary Lou earlier on. And also, let's say last night I went to a little event with a good lady, Christina. And there was a good friend of mine, Andrew Mullen, and Paola. Good morning to you. They were telling me that son Harry is an avid listener to The Breakfast Show. And I'm just about going to catch him because they're just on their way to school. Two in a row, Harry. I don't know if you're going to like these or not, but I do. I like them. Starting off with Donna Summer, the Radio Sister Bliss mix. I Feel Love. There we go, following on from Donna Summer, and that's Barry, and it is the Two Cowboys Club Edits. Sunshine After the Rain. And I tell you what, just to, what do we do on a Friday? We have our freaky fun facts, don't we, for today. That's going to be in around about about 40 minutes' time. I think the clock's upside down. Let's get back and say another hello to Mary Lou. She dropped us a line and asked if we could play a piece of music for her this morning. Comes from Pete Townsend, Let My Love Open the Door, as we make our way to 14 minutes before 8 o'clock. Pete Townsend and Let My Love Open the Door for Mary Lou on this Friday morning. Don't forget also to come. What do we do on a Friday? Well, we chat with Yasmin. We find out what, where and when you can be doing things. Yes, what you can be doing, where and when you can be doing it. And also, we'll take a rummage and see if we can find a couple of people perhaps born on this day in a world of music. This isn't one of them. This is Love You Long Time. Comes from Blackout Peas.
Check what you do if I walked up to you and I told you how I feel about you now. And what would you say if I took your breath away and I loved you every day the way I do now?
spend a little time. Your loving is so special, it keeps you on my mind. Something about a loving girl is better forever. Nothing like no other, let's keep this together. Me and you just feels right, every day is still bright. Baby, keep it coming and I love you long time.
There we go, that is John Cougar Mellencamp and Pink Houses. Going on, following on there from Love That You Long Time from the Black Eyed Peas. Take a little rummage looking for some antidepressants this morning before we look at the news. A group of volunteers cleaning up a beach in England gathered up unusual pieces of litter, including a wig and a spark plug. The plastic-free Watch It Environmental Group, part of the wider plastic-free communities in West Somerset group, held a cleaning event at Watch It Beach with about 65 members and volunteers. Well, the group said that the cleaners picked up pieces of trash of all sizes, and some of the items gave them a reason to pause. The most unusual items collected was a wig, a sandal, a boot missing its sole, a spark plug, a pair of headphones, and a plastic figurine of a character from the Wombles children books and TV series. How many remember the Wombles? This is their theme song. It's the Wombling song. Excitement on this program. Wombling. There was an album out, actually, called Wombling Songs, and it was the first album released by the Wombles. The Wombling Song, the one we just played, was released as a single. The album was written, arranged, and performed by Mike Batt, with vocals credited to the younger Wombles. Assisted. I'm Mike Batt. Oh dear. Right, on to more serious things, I guess. Here on The Breakfast Show, it's just a few seconds away from 8 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Join us February 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival in Buenaventura, where for 4 days, we're bringing you 9 incredible events with 20 performances that'll have you grooving all weekend long. We're bringing you a lineup of award-winning talent that will have you dancing the weekend away. So come and bask in the cool summer breeze under the shade of the Kurutu tree and enjoy the sensational music at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. It's an experience you won't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.neeventos.com and search for Beaches.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now, you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. Wave Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. with WAVE's own school operating as of this month. 70 public school students from Pedasí, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 6498-2703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through YAPI's directory at Asociación WAVED. That's WAVED.
Cuidemos juntos el Metro de Panamá manteniendo sus instalaciones limpias. Evitemos comer en ellas y botemos la basura en los recipientes marcados. La metrocultura la hacemos juntos. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
The best radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
You know, there's so many ways that you can be listening to Cool FM. You can be doing it on your radio on 89.3, of course. Carabao Carbleonda are on channel 866. Your Grada radio app on your smartphone. Or you could just be checking us out on your smart speaker. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it.
The coolest station online.
Yeah, that's us.
Because we play
this.
Follow the Moskva down to Gorky Park, listening to the wind of change. August summer night, soldiers passing by, listening to the wind of change. That we could be so close, like brothers. The future's in the air, can feel it everywhere. I'm blowing with the wind of change. Children of tomorrow.
gotta take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older. This mountain I must climb feels like the world upon my shoulder, but through the clouds I see love shine. It keeps me warm as life grows colder. In my life there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face again. Can't stop now, I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I wanna know what love is. I want you to show.
Friday, Freaky Friday Fun Facts, and boy, I got some interesting ones for you today. As you know, I am in the Estados Unidos, and I am actually living in a place called Nokomis, which means safe water, and it's close to a place called Sarasota. Believe it or not, Sarasota was one of the first places I looked up when I got here, and I said, I've just got to do something on Sarasota. So here we go. Top 10 things about Sarasota. Was once called the Circus City after the influence of the Ringling family. Sarasota might not just be the only city in the country that's known for a circus culture, dubbed as Circuit City. The Gulf Coast town is a colorful destination filled with fascinating stories of the legendary Ringling family. In 1927, the Ringling brothers were captivated by Sarasota's sunny skies and vibrant lifestyles, and soon decided to make it the winter homeland for their famous circus. Now, the city is a haven for circus culture, showcasing the creativity and magic of their beloved performers. And even if you're not a big fan of the circus, Sarasota's vibrant energy and lush landscapes make it an ideal place to visit. The number two, or the origin of the name Sarasota, it's kind of difficult to trace. It's kind of mysterious even to locals and tourists alike. Despite much research and investigation, it's traced back to its origins. Well, one of the earliest records seemed to appear on a Spanish map in 1763. You know, Jerry, the one you had when you were traveling? Yeah, anyway. Well, that was called as Zarazota, with Z's. Some historians speculate that may have come from the extinct Calusa language, which these areas' original inhabitants. I am living in Calusa Lake, so that's a Calusa language in a Calusa Lake. Otherwise, they believe it would have been a variation of a Mediterranean name brought over by the Spanish explorers. Whatever that is, Sarasota has come a long way from its mysterious beginnings and has established itself as a vibrant, dynamic coastal city. Did you know Sarasota has the highest number of Zagat-rated restaurants in Florida? Yeah. They got the highest number of 21 of Zagat restaurants of any other city in the state. So Florida, Sarasota, I'm telling you, you want a place to eat, you come to Sarasota. Did you know Siesta Key is one of the best beaches in the whole world, not just the state? 99% of the beach is crystal quartz. That's a very important. Sarasota has been rated one of the top 10 places to live in the United States. The reason it's been ranked as the top 10 beach is because, it's no surprise, it has crystal clear turquoise water and mesmerizing white sand. Visiting Siesta Key is truly a magical experience. Recently, the TripAdvisor in 2023 Traveler's Choice awarded it the number 2 beach in the country for its unique beauty. Whether you're looking to bask in the sun, swim, surf, or just take a long walk on the shore, Siesta Key is everything you need to relax and unwind. Did you know that there are 76 golf courses within a 15-mile radius of Sarasota? So if you're a golf enthusiast, don't worry. You can get a round of golf in on one of the 57 18-hole golf courses. And if you opt for a shorter game, yeah, you can do it like 9 holes. It's okay. And there's a bunch of 19-hole courses available in the area as well. Sarasota, as I told you, is one of the top 10 best places to live in the United States. Recently was ranked number 5 as one of the best places to live by USA News World Report in 2023-24. This year's list, which evaluates metro areas based on quality of life, job market, value, and desirability, continues to highlight the incredible appeal of Sarasota. Well, it's no wonder Sarasota has been a favorite destination in my book for a long time. Love them white beaches. I love my Panama beaches, but there's nothing better than a Siesta Key beach. Did you know Sarasota is home to 8 institutions of higher learning? That's right. There's a bunch of colleges, universities. There's the Ringling College of Art and Design. There's the Oslo Theater, the Sarasota School of Massage. Oh, just goes on and on. The South Florida Sarasota Manatee. We have just got so many higher educations going on here. Did you know Sarasota is considered one of the top 10 grossing growing places in the United States? Well, it's no wonder if they got pretty beaches. And did you know, from actors to musicians to athletes, many famous people call Sarasota their home? As a matter of fact, some of their residents include Stephen King, the horror writer, Martina Navratilova. She was a tennis player. All of you remember her. Yes, very good tennis player. Yeah, very good, very good. Likes her very much. For those more into the music scene, Brian Johnson of AC/DC, Joe Perry from Aerosmith, and I also believe Derek Jeter has a place out here too. Yeah. So they're in good company, and as also with among the foundling of the Ringling family. So I told you that Siesta Key sand is 99% quartz. Well, that's why it's got such beautiful features, since it's got that much quartz. Though it's thought to be a natural energy conductor and vibratory mineral, it's said to contain healing powers, making the beach a prime destination for New Agers and holistic medicine practitioners, people who travel to Siesta Key not only for a peaceful getaway, but to partake in meditation, drum circles, and yoga classes. Boy, every Sunday and Wednesday night, they have drum circles down at the Casey Key. Whoa, I wish they'd learn another beat, 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 beat. They just repeat over and over. I wish they, but anyway, they're having fun. That's all that matters. Did you know Sarasota's Mayaca State River is the host of the first ever treetop trail in the United States? Yes, my sister and I walked that last year. It's called the Canopy Walkway. Yeah, it's all of 25 feet above the ground, and it's 100 feet through the canopy, and has about 75 feet of hiking trail. Not a big trail, but it is the first ever treetop trail. Did you know Sarasota's turn-of-the-century lamb boom got its beginnings in Scotland? Of course you knew there was going to be something about Scotland. While the gorgeous city has become a popular vacation spot, it all started in an unlikely beginning in Scotland. In 1885, the Florida Mortgage Investment Company, LTD, purchased a whopping 50,000 acres in the area. The company's first sale was made in Scotland and England, marking the beginning of Sarasota's land boom. Who would have thought such a magnificent city known for its stunning beaches, cultural offerings, could trace its roots back to a property deal across the big pond? It just goes to show you never know where success is going to come from. Did you know that on January 9th, 1886, a nationwide snowstorm reached Sarasota? Yeah, snow, man. You can imagine what that must have done to the orange trees. Did you know that it was one of Elvis Presley's first gigs was in Sarasota, at the Sarasota now Opera House? Did you know that the Sarasota excavations have revealed ancient wonders from the warm mineral spring part, from 12,000-year-old paleo-Indian skeletons? Yeah, well, and the discovery of a saber-toothed tiger in the underwater caverns. Yeah. Did you know Sarasota was nearly the theme park capital of Florida? Now, we often associate Florida with theme parks, you know, like Disney, and, you know, it's a small, those kinds of things, you know. But once Sarasota was a contender in the industry. Just south of Sarasota, Osprey, which is actually close here to where I am, was a place called Floridaland, a unique amusement park which opened its doors in 1964. This park was not about roller coasters and thrills, but featured a combination of Western pioneer town, dolphin show, zoo, and garden. The visitors could enjoy rides, covered wagon adventures. I'll tell you, I even have a picture of me with this guy who looked like Hoss from Bonanza, with him having a rope thrown around my waistline. And then later on, a dolphin pulling around my favorite toy. Yeah, no, it was quite wonderful. I remember it well. Did you know the historic Oslo Theater was originally built in Italy? The Oslo Theater is a true wonder of the world, a story that spans centuries and continents. Originally built in 1798, this grand building was once a beloved cultural landmark in its home country before being dismantled and shipped to Florida a century later. The Oslo Theater is a treasured piece of history and the testament of endearing power of art and the human spirit. They literally took it block by block apart, put it on a boat, send it over here, and then put it back together. Kind of like they did in Lake Havasu with the London Bridge. They moved it, and it is stunning. Sarasota has a very large Amish community. Famous for its destination in Florida, it may surprise you, it's home to many Amish faiths. Just a little stroll through the peaceful neighborhood of Pinecraft can offer a unique cultural experience. The charming village consists of about 500 homes, which are several stores and shops. Here you can savor the delectable offerings of Yoder's Restaurant, their famous pies, and garnered quite a reputation. Or head over to the local grocery store, Detweiler's Market, for a fantastic selection of fresh produce, meats, and baked goods. The Amish community in Pinecraft is a thriving, distinct part of Sarasota. These folks actually come down and stay, and then they have their little tricycles that they ride around. You see them all the time. It's quite adorable, quite wonderful. I'm really glad that they are here. The Downtown Sarasota Festival of the Arts is ranked in the top 100 art festivals in the country. So, these are just a few things. If you get a chance to come to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus Museum, that's great. They also have 22 of the 24 huge Rubens hanging in the museum along with tapestries. Sarasota is chocked full of wonderful things to see and do. There's never a dull moment. It's only 15 to 20 minutes down the road from here in our little Nokomis at Calusa Lake. So those are your Freaky Friday fun facts about Sarasota, Florida. So those of you who have never been, don't come. The beaches are already crowded. I don't want any more people here. I want it all to myself, okay? All right, well, this has been your Freaky Friday Fun Facts. I'm wishing you all a wonderful weekend. Say hello to my cook. I love you and I love Chelsea. And back to you in the studio.
All that you can't say. Years gone by and still words don't come easily. Like sorry.
Is Boy's Own and Baby Can I Hold You Tonight. Time on the Breakfast Show, 23 minutes right now. That's before the hour of 9 o'clock, and it's time to welcome our guest in for this Friday. It's good morning to Julio Montes de Oca. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me on today.
It's nice to have you. It is a special day. It's World Wetlands Day today.
Yes, it is. So today is the celebration of World Wetlands Day, one of the calendar events in the environmental world. But, you know, that as we recognize their value more and more, you know, we realize the relevance for everybody pretty much in society at large.
And let's just sort of take a look. What exactly, because wetlands is a wide definition. Does this include, you know, like our mangroves, but it's also inland water as well, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And that's the interesting bit, about wetlands, that this definition encompasses a lot of different environments. So essentially a wetland in general terms is any natural, area where water is the determining factor to its health. So as you said, you know, we have coastal wetlands that are very emblematic, like mangroves and estuaries and things like that. And then we have other inland areas, like, temporary flooded areas or lakes, even watersheds or rivers are considered wetlands. So, I mean, water is what determines the flora and the fauna that you find. And that's why I think it's a good approach, because it lets you, work and, appreciate different types of places and values.
It's interesting because you mentioned sort of flooded areas, because one of the things that the wetlands can do, in actual fact, they're there for flood protection.
Exactly, yeah. That's one of the main, values and services that it has. So people would say, oh, well, this is a flooded area, and, I can't use it for something else. But on the other hand, if it's flooded there, it's not going to be flooded where you do actually have an activity. So that's a very important function that needs to be recognized. And those areas must be kept. Sometimes people, might drain an area and then use it for agriculture. But, the natural flow might lead back to a flooding. So it's important to maintain them and recognize that value, as you point out.
And of course, for us here, we're often talking about the mangroves because of nature, because of the natural life. And of course, this is the same applies to wetlands anywhere as well.
Yes, exactly. I mean, having a natural ecosystem, a natural area, let's say, of course, has, associated biodiversity that is dependent on those characteristics being maintained. And in the case of mangroves, of course, you have a lot of, bird species and crustaceans. And of course, it's critical for reproduction of fish and in the associated fisheries. So that's where you start making those linkages, just beyond the area and, let's say, the water coverage itself.
And what is the biggest threat? I guess it's us, right?
Well, historically, yes, because, I don't have the number at the top of my head, but a large percentage of wetlands around the world have been, decimated or degraded by human development activities. But more recently, of course, there's also the threat from climate change. On one hand, wetlands help us mitigate some of those impacts, and the best example are mangroves that are protecting, sea level rise and, increased and storms.
And of course, they're consuming carbon dioxide
as
well.
And the carbon storage. You've done your research. But then at the same time, the changing conditions, in temperature and in water availability, which is a critical factor in wetlands again, that also affects them. So, I mean, on one hand, we're trying to protect them so they keep protecting us.
Right, exactly.
That's one way to look at it.
And because on the other hand, I mean, when we were building our highway out to the airport, there was a lot of sort of, we put across the Gulf there where it goes over towards the old town. And everybody was up in, this is going to affect the flow of the water, it's going to do this. But boy, have those mangroves flourished.
Yes, in some parts, if you're thinking like in Panama Viejo, that's kind of like fortuitous, but, it turns out that, the changes in the, coastal dynamics through the building maybe of the Viaducto Marino, things like that, maybe they facilitated the conditions for for mangroves to grow there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in other places, it can go wrong the other way.
Sure.
Where you have to drain, or you interrupt some natural flows, or you also make the surfaces impervious.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there's, this disruption of the water cycle, of which wetlands play a critical role.
Tell me, I'm just with the mangroves, because do we have any sort of inland wetlands in Panama? Or is mangroves our main wetland?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I could think of, there's even high mountain, let's say, lakes or lagoons in areas like in Chiriquí. And also in Darién has coastal wetlands, but if you go further inland, there's also, land-based wetlands that have peatlands, for example, which are another very important carbon-retaining ecosystem.
I was going to ask you about that, because sort of like in the United Kingdom, over in Ireland especially, you have the peat bogs.
Yes.
And this Also, that's also a wetland.
Yes, exactly. And great water for whiskey, you know. Gets that peaty flavor.
You don't need to tell me about that.
But, I mean, it's similar types of ecosystems where, you know, there's this long-term deposit of organic matter that's just stored there. And again, it's carbon that's sequestered and mitigates climate change. So if we affect them and liberate that carbon, it goes against us because it, you know, contributes to climate change. Sure. So it's very important to maintain that.
And it's very important that you mention the whiskey because that's... Because it does, it gives it that really, you can taste it.
Yeah, well, you say it's like a peaty taste, right?
Yeah, I think one of them is like a Talisker, I think. Yes. I remember rightly, single malt, which has got a very strong taste. It's very good, yes. Anyway, this one's about wetlands. Let's talk about whiskey. Now, what about, looking at the other side, what are the biggest threats to the wetlands now? I mean, like pollution, I mean, climate change, obviously.
Yeah, and I think also you kind of touched on this a little bit, the urban development, how it's done. I mean, it doesn't mean we have to stop all development, but you know, we have to go towards ways to do it in a, you know, more in harmony with the natural environment. Because actually, you know, if we do it the right way, we are actually preventing things like floods, and you still get that in the area towards the airport because it's it was very fast development, but just, you know, looking at developments in a very, just on the spot and not looking at the overall landscape. So you can build something and you can have an environmental impact assessment that comes out okay, but you're affecting the broader landscape in terms of water retention and water flow. So, you know, you might build your development, you know, 10 feet above ground, then you're okay. You're not going to be flooded, but the people around you are going to suffer that. So if you're like the older inhabitant of an area, then you're going to pay for it. So,
Right. And another thing is, I guess, something is invasive species that can come in and upset the wildlife side of it as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a less relevant factor, but in areas like in Panama where you have the canal and you have the ships going around, you know, it's not out of the question that there can be that sort of affectation. But I mean, it's a whole range of issues that you need to look at: climate change, urban development, or lack of urban planning, contamination that you said, you know, the things that come from the watersheds.
This was another thing, because here, you know, our mangroves, a lot of them are growing around the mouth of the rivers.
Yes.
And we're seeing now contamination in the rivers, not just with waste, but chemical waste as well.
Yeah, I mean, kind of mangroves are kind of at the end of the line. You could even go further to marine ecosystems like coral reefs and such. I mean, we don't have any here exactly in the city. But yeah, kind of mangroves and coastal ecosystems are at the end of the line in the watershed. So everything that comes from the upstream, whether it's, you know, water, wastewater, or, you know, runoff from agricultural activities, agrochemicals, or, as you said, larger industrial operations that might dump and might not be controlled, well, that everything, you know, filters down and gets down to here. And, you know, while coastal wetlands have a great ability to kind of filter those things, you know, they have a limited capacity. So sometimes it's, you know, just runs it over and, you know, you begin to see affectation, of course.
Right.
And then, of course, there's solid waste like plastic.
Yeah.
And that comes from both ways. It can come from the watersheds, but also can come from sea currents, from other watersheds along the coast.
And you're obviously very involved in this, Julio, but do we do enough in Panama to protect our wetlands?
Yes. Well, I work with National Audubon Society, which is a U.S.-based organization primarily focused on birds. But, you know, that's kind of like the emblematic way to attract, you know, to create an interest in the ecosystems that they use. And as we work here in Panama, I mean, we see a lot of advances in, you know, in protection and also recognition. I mean, it's public and private recognition. I mean, the state has its role in the formal protection, you know, declaring protected areas and creating management plans and having the, you know, the vigilance of the ecosystems. But I think there's also a large role that's played by society that recognizes the importance and, you know, modifies their behavior as well. I'm not going to, you know, just dump things in the river, or mm-hmm. I'm not going to mm-hmm. go and visit a place and take out some plants and take them back home. So, I mean, there's a lot of advances here in Panama, but a lot of challenges at the same time.
Yeah. We had Rob Getman in here the other week from Maria Verde, and, the fabulous work they're doing with the rivers, but it's sort of like scratching the surface in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we recognize from environmental organizations that it's not that we're going to solve all the world's problems, no. But we pilot interesting approaches, and then...
But we're doing something. That's the important thing.
But I think the importance is that, you know, one thing is to work with the government and try to upscale and replicate those approaches, but also work with society at large, creating mm-hmm. awareness.
Mm-hmm.
There's beautiful environmental awareness programs here in Panama. Our partner, Panama Audubon Society, has a brilliant environmental education program with school kids,
mm-hmm.
Primary school kids, mm-hmm. Called Aulas Verdes. And, you know, that's part of it, because you see kind of a change in the attitude, and, you know, even the kids change how their parents think. I mean,
exactly. When you and I were growing up,
we didn't know about recycling and this and that.
Yep.
And now it's, you know, like in the lingo, let's say, and, you know, they have a different kind of awareness. And hopefully that keeps growing. I mean, the problems are, you know, accumulating fast, but I think there's a potential for solutions that can, you know, help us get back on track, I think.
You're absolutely right there. It's them teaching the kids, and the kids are the ones that, oi, don't throw the rubbish
exactly.
in the street, Dad. Pick it up and take it home or put it in the bin. Funnily enough, I mean, it's sort of like it's inbred in me. I had yesterday I picked up something and it was in a paper bag, and I thought, oh, I'll just screw it up. And I thought, that would do it. So I put it in behind the back seat of the car and thought, right, when I get home, I've got to put that in the bin. Open the window. And I think having air-conditioned buses has helped, because you don't get the cans and the bottles coming out the window.
Yeah.
But talking with Julio, we're going to take a quick piece of music. We'll be back with him in a minute. And it is, of course, International Wetlands Day today. go. Duran Jones and the Indications there, and Love Will Work It Out. My guest is Julio Montes, and we're talking about Wetland Day today. And we're touching there, Julio, on, you know, are we doing enough? Is there a good support from the MBNT, or is it just sort of in the background there? Or?
Well, I think so. I mean, there's always challenges in, you know, in the interactions with the broader economy and societal issues. But I think at least for the part that I'm focusing on now, coastal wetlands, there's incredibly committed people. And, you know, I think there's clarity about where they want to go in terms of future protection of critical ecosystems like mangroves. Right now, we're working with them in other organizations, including Smithsonian and Pew Charitable Trust, for example, on the nationally determined contributions, which are the commitments that the country makes to fight climate change. So this is an international commitment. So in terms of coastal ecosystems, including mangroves, you know, they are being progressive in terms of the goals that they're setting for, you know, 2025, 2030. And, you know, it's a commitment, and then you have to, you know, figure out how to comply and how to make it real. So that's where we, you know, keep accompanying them, and, you know, also try to mobilize cooperation finance and, civil society, and also even private sector to achieve those goals. So, I mean, putting those things on paper is, you know, shouldn't be underestimated, because it's out there for the world to see and say, hey, we want to do this. We want to protect X amount of hectares of mangroves. We want to restore X amount of area. And then, yeah, it's about going out and doing it. But it's a joint work. I mean, we should, in my country, I come from Costa Rica, sometimes we think, hey, government should solve all the problems, but it's not like that.
They
actually help mobilize things, and yes, set the support, policy, but...
Support is, you know, and don't cheat.
Yeah, I mean, there needs to be a vigilance from civil society, and I think in Panama, environmental organizations and social organizations are very... aware.
I think we've quite recently seen that.
Well, exactly.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, this was just an incredible movement, a social movement that said, well, we don't want this sort of development. And it was not just the environmental organizations.
No.
And, you know, a lot of involvement of young people. And I think that's very inspiring. And it says a lot about the character of Panama. And I think it's inspiration for people around the region that we want, like, a greener development, you know, in harmony with nature, and things can be done differently.
What do you consider here in Panama as the biggest threat, say, to our mangroves? And is it urbanization? Or?
Well, urbanization in certain specific areas. I would point maybe just to hear the edge of Bay of Panama, protected area, and the city of Panama. And there's some issues in places like Chiriquí for development of a port. Might not be located in the best place. Some other proposed developments, touristic or portuary, in Bay of Parita. Those are, you know, kind of point sources, let's say. But there's also the broader climate change issue about just changing conditions. And I mean, you could say that's not in our control, but at least we can do planning for it to be addressed in a better way. So, you know, to mitigate those impacts so that they help us mitigate broader climate change.
And what can we, just quickly, as we come to the end, but what can we do as individuals or civil society to help?
Well, there's the individual actions, as I said, you know, in terms of our consumption and our use of resources and waste treatment. But also, I would say, expectation we have of our policymakers. You know, now that you have elections, are you going to check what's the environmental perspective of your candidate, whether it's a national presidential candidate or an alcalde? You know, I would say people need to go look at that and say, hey, what is your plan and what are you going to do? Is this important to you? And I think, you know, say, hey, I'm going to condition my vote for you to... if you have an environmental agenda or not. So that's one practical way for people to get involved.
Brilliant. Julio Montes de Oca, you are the, I like the title, Coastal Resilience Director. You go out there and point your finger at people and stop doing that.
Will do, and thanks for giving us a space.
No, it's great, and thank you very much for coming in, and your guys are welcome anytime, so keep in touch.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
Julio with us this morning. That has just brought us, we're about 30 seconds away from the top of the hour. If you missed the news at 8, sit tight. We got it for you in a second.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
There's a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo.
When the big black horse said, look this way, he said, hey, that day, will you marry me?
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. But I said, no.
Ooh.
And my heart hit a problem in the early hours, so I stopped it dead for a beat or two.
Ooh.
But I cut some cord and I shouldn't have done it, and it won't forgive me after all these years.
Ooh.
Ooh. So I sent it to a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh.
Now I won't come back, cause it's all so happy, and now I got a hole for the world to see.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it said, no, 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 no. Said, no, no, you're not the one for me. No, 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 no. Said, no, no, you're not the one for me.
There we go. Two in a row bring us in on this part of the program. Asia was the first with Heat of the Moment, and followed on there the Black Horse and the Cherry Tree. Right, time. We are just making our way to 18 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Still to come, we'll be checking in with Yasmin for what, where and when, what you can be doing, where and when you can be doing it, and we do have a couple of people born on this day in the world of music. All right. Now, Julio, as he was just leaving the studio, big thanks to Julio for being with us this morning. Julio Montes, and we've been talking about wetlands. It is International Wetlands. He says to me, have you got Rush? Have you got Rush and the Spirit of Radio? Oh, have I got Rush and the Spirit of Radio? Yes, indeed, I do.
we go. Going out to our guest this morning, to Julio. That's it. So that's Rush and the Spirit of Radio. Yes, in fact, I went out yesterday. I tell you what, I must put my badge on. Well, I went to the Grupo Grada event the other night. I was there, and they gave us a little bag, and they gave us I've got a badge. It says here, video did not kill the radio star. There we are. We have it in writing. Right, I tell you what, it is, so I keep saying right, don't I? Anyway, right, let's go over and see what's happening in the world of Yaz. Morning, Yaz.
Hello, good morning, happy Friday.
It is a happy Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm busy because I'm sorting out. I just suddenly realised we're going to be doing Born on This Day in the World of Music, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd better go and find some music.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, and anyway, how was yesterday? It was just work yesterday?
Yesterday I went to Mac Museum.
Oh, that's right, it was the Mac Museum yesterday, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. they had two great exhibitions. I really love them both.
Mm-hmm.
And they are called Puerta del Sol.
Uh-huh.
By the Panamanian artist Cisco Merel, and the other one is called Pies Bajo Fuego, Sobre el Despojo.
Uh-huh.
And it is part of Cadiz International Double Takes Program.
Okay.
And of course, you can check out their Instagram account to see mm-hmm. all the dates and hours when they're going to be open, because it's better to go on a guided tour, you know, to understand mm-hmm. everything better. Mm-hmm. But we really, really love everything. Everything is very good, with a very nice message at the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yes. So, yes. And also today, remember, today starts the baby fair.
Oh, that's right.
From today until Sunday. And this year is going to be in Atlapa. So don't miss that. This is the largest maternity meeting in Panama, with the best for early childhood health mm-hmm. conferences, mm-hmm. casting for the most photogenic baby, and an atmosphere of inclusion and family. So this is going to be today until Sunday.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah. Do you mm-hmm. think? Do you think I will win? You take my picture?
No.
No.
Just for babies.
Oh. I'll wear a diaper.
And also tonight at Salotto Italiano.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a jazz note with Don Pablo Mures. This is going to start at 8 p.m. And so don't miss it. They have very good food.
I tell you, they do. Yes.
And live music, which is also awesome.
So Salotto Italiano. I like saying it. I say it with don't I? It's very Spanish, very Italianish.
Oh, yes.
Salotto Italiano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Very good food.
That sounds like Indian.
Don't tell everybody. But no, great place to go. Go and check it out. Great mm-hmm. music and great food. Great company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Should I start with who was born?
Yeah, because we're going to do three today, aren't mm-hmm. we? Yes. Mm-hmm. There's okay. so many.
Yes, the first one is Graham Nash. Mm-hmm. He was born in 1942, British-American singer, songwriter, known for his light tenor voice and for his songwriting contributions as a member of the Hollies and supergroup Crosby, Stills and Nash. Nash initially met both David Crosby and Stephen Stills in 1966 during the Hollies U.S. tour.
Yeah. And in fact, what I'm going to do, because we've got the two, we've got the Hollies, which are one of my favourites,
mm-hmm.
and also Cosby, Stills, Nash. Cosby, Stills, Nash, and there's some also Cosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play one from the Hollies, and then a little bit later on, mm-hmm. I'll play another one, Cosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Mm-hmm.
Here's okay. the Hollies. Here's one of their early ones. It's called Bus Stop.
Umbrella we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we enjoyed.
There we go, waiting for a bus. That was Bus Stop from the Hollies. Right, yes, what else are we doing?
Should I continue with the other one, or...?
No, I'll come back, I'll do another, I'll do Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young after we've done, okay. done the others.
Okay.
Yes.
Don't forget, you told me, when is the Chinese day?
I told you?
Yeah, you told me yesterday.
I did?
Or the day before?
You think I remember it? Chinese New Year, hold on there. I can soon tell you. Don't go away, I'll just...
Because there's an event, but I'm not sure if it's the same day or when
Chinese it is. New Year 2024. Saturday, February the 10th, Chinese New Year.
The 10th? Ah, okay. 10th. Well, there's the Festival de la Primavera, celebrating the Chinese New Year. On February, from the 4th to the 5th.
Okay.
This is going to be at Market Plaza, La Rambla. And, of course, the entrance is going to be free, and there's going to be a lot of everything, you know, for the whole family, music, food. They're going to have cars, too.
Okay. And yeah, but there's so many Chinese cars on the road now.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? They're everywhere.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You can tell, because they're the best designed.
So yeah, that's going to be on February 4th and 5th.
Okay, it says here Chinese New Year. Well, because Chinese New Year is based on the lunar calendar, it occurs on a different date every year. In the year 2024, Chinese New Year is going to be observed from February the 10th to the 15th, with the Lantern Festival serving as the conclusion to the festivities.
Okay.
I like the lanterns.
The what?
The lanterns.
Oh.
Do you know what a lantern is?
No.
Oh. It's when a lantern is like, if you have a pole and you have a light on the end, hanging, then that's the lantern. It's a lantern, you see?
Yeah.
And the Chinese ones are, though, have you seen these festivals where they're made of paper and they have like a candle in the middle?
Yeah.
And they go off and they fly forever.
Yeah, but that's dangerous.
Yeah, it sets people's houses on fire, but that's neither here nor there, you know.
Exactly. So that's not good. Don't do that.
You see them sometimes at New Year, though, when we do our own New Year.
Yeah.
You know, when we've been over at diners in Casco, you see the occasional one going up. They're attractive to look at.
Yeah, but it's not good. Okay, also, as we were talking about the wetlands, today it's going to be... Let me see, what time is it? Well, maybe you are on time, because it's until 10. They're going to be, Audubon, Panama, is going to be at Panama Viejo, where you can watch the birds that are in the beach, beach birds, and, of course, learn more about them. This is going to be at the parking lot of Panama Viejo, and the entrance is free, and maybe if you go, you're going to be... there on time. This is totally free for everybody.
What time do you finish?
At 10.
Oh.
But you know, they love to talk about that, so maybe they can.
If you're around that area now's a good time to try
it. Yeah. And also this Sunday, Mosque Town. Remember that tour?
Oh, yes, they do in the bus, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. It's going to be this Sunday at 4 p.m. You can get in touch with Malamaña Teatro. This is on Instagram, or make your reservations at 6755-0011.
Okay.
Malamaña Theater.
Malamaña.
It's a very good story.
Malamaña.
Malamaña. And also at the Biomuseo, if you cannot go today to learn more about birds, at the Biomuseo on Sunday at 8 a.m., it's going to be free. Also, they're going to be talking about birds.
Oh, okay.
And you can learn about biodiversity and birds.
Okay.
So good. Okay. So let's continue with the other one who was born today. That's Alan McKay.
All right.
He was born in 1948. guitarist with Earth, Wind and Fire, who had the 1975 US number one single Shining Star and the 1981 UK number three single Let's Groove. The band has received 20 Grammy nominations and were the first African American act to sell out Madison Square Garden.
Oh, okay. Let's groove. Come on, everybody. It's desk chair time. Great track. That is, and that's Let's Groove from Earth, Wind and Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there we go.
Mm-hmm. And let's do the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Eva Cassidy.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
She was born in 1963. U.S. singer. She is the only artist to score three posthumous U.K. number one albums, 2001's Songbird, 2002's Imagine, and 2003's American Tune. In 2001, she also had a UK number 42 single with Over the Rainbow, and the 2007 UK number one single What a Wonderful World with Kati Melua.
That's right, yeah. Two great artists, yeah.
Yeah? Mm. Oh, okay.
Eva Cassidy, yeah, because it was sad, because she died very young.
Yes.
Yeah.
33 years old.
I know. That's terrible. Was it? Mm-hmm. It was cancer, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here is Eva Cassidy. This is the title song of that album called Songbird.
Mm-hmm.
what a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. So sad.
Yeah.
So sad. Mm-hmm. Eva Cassidy and Songbird, it would have been her birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we're going to do. And let's just keep an eye on the time. Oh, 16 and a half minutes before 10, so we've got about 10 minutes or so to go. I said I would play another track with, this time, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's Marrakesh Express.
World through the sunset in your eyes, traveling the train through clear Moroccan skies. Ducks and pigs and chickens crawl, animal carpet wall to wall, American ladies 5 foot tall and blue, sweeping cobwebs from the edges of my mind. Had to get away to see what we could find. Hope the days that lie ahead bring us back to where they led. Listen up to what they said to you. Would you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Would you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh, all on board the train. All on board the train.
I've been saving all my money just to take you there. I smell the garden in your hair. Take the train to Casablanca going south. Blowing smoke rings from the corners of my gold cups hanging in the air. Charming cobras in the square. Stripes your leathers we can wear at home.
Well, let me hear you now.
Would you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? You know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express. They're taking me to Marrakesh. But you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express. But you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express. They're taking me to Marrakesh. All on board the train. All on board.
And there we go, Marrakesh Express, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young on that one. Time on The Breakfast Show. We are 14 minutes before 10 o'clock. So you're going babying today, is it?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you're going baby. That'll be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, of course.
You're going to take lots of pictures of babies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That'll be fun. Actually, you know, it's funny because Lala the parrot...
Mm-hmm.
Obviously came because it obviously been somewhere else before she came to us.
Mm-hmm.
And she obviously was in a family that had a dog, I think,
mm-hmm.
and a young baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because she makes the noise of a young baby.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we had a lot of kids playing out by the pool.
Mm-hmm.
She was screaming at them like a young baby.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, go away.
Oh.
But anyway, we've got... overslept again, apparently. This is Renee.
Mm-hmm.
Overslept again.
Oh.
Yeah. What's the matter? Hello, no pine Renee. Leaves? No pine leaves to get out there and sweep up? So, yes, it says, good morning. Overslept again.
Good morning.
Did you know it was Groundhog Day today?
I know.
No, me neither.
Mm-mm. We don't celebrate that.
It says, happy Groundhog Day. Just read that, Phil. Mm-hmm. Puntuxibund. Hang on, let me see. I'm a bit of a... Punxsutawney Phil. Yes.
What is that?
I don't know. I'm just going to call him Phil. It's a groundhog.
Ah, okay.
You know? Didn't see his shadow today.
Mm-hmm.
So spring is on the way, apparently.
Okay.
Although we got summer, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need spring. We've passed spring out of it. And also, we don't do autumn either.
But that means when is spring? Spring is...
Well, the first day of spring...
Uh-huh.
Is on guess whose birthday?
Christina's?
No.
Who? Yours?
Yes.
Ah.
First day of spring is March the 21st.
That's far away.
Yes.
Hmm.
It's the name of the town, that Punta Kinawanawani. Is the town where Phil comes from. The groundhog.
Ah, okay.
It's all very complicated, isn't it? just to tell out if it's going to rain or not.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
By the way, good luck with that one if you think it's pretty good. You've got plenty of snow still to come. Don't worry about it. Anyway, Renee, it's always great to hear from you. Have an absolutely brilliant weekend. Mm-hmm. All right? And you, yes. You have a good
Thank
weekend.
Thank you very much, and everybody.
And we will be back as normal on... is it Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't have a holiday on Monday, do we?
No.
Oh, okay. Have a good weekend. There we go. That's Mr. C.J. Lewis and Sweets for My Sweet. Time on the Breakfast Show. We just got a couple of minutes ago, and I thought I'd tell you what. Why don't we finish it off with a smile on our face? All right? Always remember, bright side of life.
Some things in life are bad, they can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey,
always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
There we go, yes, Monty Python's Flying Circus there. And we love that one, don't we? Look on the bright side of life. Why not? Life's too short to be miserable all the time. That's it. That brings us to the end of this morning's breakfast show. Time for us to make our way out the door and go off and, like you, hopefully enjoy our weekend. Big thanks go out this morning to our special guest. That was Julio Montes de Oca from the Audubon Society. In fact, his full title is, I've got it here, Coastal Resilience Director, Audubon America. So big thanks to Julio and also the Audubon Society and great work they're doing as well. Thanks also go out to Ingrid for our Freaky Friday fun facts for today, all about Sarasota up there in Florida. So thank you, Ingrid, for that. To Yasmin here in the Breakfast Show studio for our what, where and when for this week, what you can be doing, where and when you can be doing it. And also to our co-producer, Neil Danby. And he gets a lot of our background information for us as well. And of course, oh, by the way, Yasmin was doing our Who Was Born on This Day in Music as well. So thanks to Yas for that, including all our social media, etc., etc. And big thanks to the boys and girls at Group Agrada, keep us up and running, and he'll be switching us over in just a few seconds' time. And lastly, but not least, of course, you lot. Yes, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors. Thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. 89.3 Cool FM. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. We will be back with you on Monday at the same time, 7 in the morning. All right, but do stay tuned. You've got Two Chat SOS coming up with Gigi, so hang around for that. Great programming going right through the day here on Cool FM. Well, just remains for me to say, please, whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and Monday morning, do it carefully. Why? You know why. Because I want to be talking to you on Monday, not talking about you. For me, Jerry D, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby.